Well, hello out there, sports fans, radio fans, and fans of a good laugh, some brain cell stimulation, and otherwise fun times in the virtual radio universe. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with my sort of partner in crime, microphone mate, buddy in broadcasting, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, where L stands for lots of great radio, fun, laughs, and sometimes we might disagree a bit, but that's okay. We laugh it off, and we shake hands, and we proceed, knowing we're both geniuses anyway. So, from the Sunshine State, home of the controversial governor who wishes to be president, we call him Ron Number Two because he's about 30-plus years your junior. How are you today? How are you today there, Ron?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, acceptable and slightly irrespectable, as usual. So, not surprisingly, since we last got together on these airwaves, lots of happenings. I mean, we could certainly spend a whole week talking about Donnie Baby, and we'll certainly talk about him a bit. We always enjoy the laugh or two that we get from speaking about the orange one, who might or might not be wearing an orange jumpsuit, and his lovely wife, and his charming family, and everybody else. But first, as we'd like to do, let folks know a little bit about Ron. Why don't you go ahead, Ron, so I can take some more of my coffee, because it's still kind of early here on our mid-morning coffee break, Adam the Computer Guy afternoon radio program. Tell our listeners who may not be familiar with you, even though you've been on the air with us a couple hundred times, tell us a little bit about yourself. Or as they say it on What's My Line, please sign in.
Yes. Okay. I'm beginning my 52nd year in the classroom. I've been teaching at Florida Atlantic University. Now this is my 35th year, but altogether 52nd year of teaching. I'm the author of two books, one on presidents and threats, the other on progressive Republican senators and the New Deal, my original PhD dissertation. I did my dissertation under Arthur Schlesinger Jr., the famous historian who worked for Presidents Kennedy and Johnson. I, of course, write on theprogressiveprofessor.com for 15 years coming up this weekend. It'll be 15 years I've been doing that. And I also write on History News Network, a couple hundred articles on there. And I'm also, of course, on WWGH since February 2017. So it's 6.5 years this month.
So you're a broadcasting and publishing stud, as they say in show business. And we are pleased to have you with us once again.
Well, I'll let you say the last word. I'm not going to say that about myself.
Oh, well, that's okay. It's good to, you know, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all, said Whitney Houston in a song written and performed by George Benson. So we want to have this positive attitude. And in today's political climate, Ron, I think knowing about presidents seems to me to be a very popular thing, as we have a president today who certainly is making a lot more in terms of waves than he did in his previous 40, 50, 60 years in politics. And of course, the president before him, you know, known as Donnie Baby, who wants to be president again, might very well become our, you know, even if he serves from a prison cell, might become our president once again. Certainly one who elicits controversy. And, you know, you're not a fan, I know, but love him or hate him, he certainly has stimulated interest in the presidency, in politics, in world affairs. And you've been denoted as our presidentologist by myself. One thing I have in common with the orange one is I like to make up words, but I think my words are a little more cerebral than his.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that term, presidentologist.
So
yeah.
Before we get on to the important topics, let's talk about a sad topic, speaking about a fellow presidentologist, another gentleman. We recently lost him at rather young age, 69. I mean, 69 is within shouting distance of my age, for goodness sakes. And it's younger than you are. But, you know, a good friend of ours, virtually, you've met him in person. Yeah. He's been on my show. Author, wealth of knowledge, great sense of humor. And we lost him way too early to cancer. Very sad. And Mike Purdy is the gentleman. Tell us about Mike Purdy, Ron, your interaction with him, and tell us about this. Tell our listeners about this awesome book that he's written, which, you know, I giggle a bit even just thinking about it.
Yeah, well, Mike Purdy was not a professional historian, not a college professor. He worked for the state government of Washington State out in Seattle, And but he became an author of a couple of books on the presidency, and I became aware of him on Facebook and contacted him and was in touch with him. And then he said he was coming to a business conference down in South Florida about 5-6 years ago. So I said, oh, it would be great if we could meet. So we did meet. We had lunch, spent 2 or 3 hours together, really bonded, got along very well. I felt, and he felt, as if we both knew each other very well, almost like we were friends for life, or we were brothers, that we had, you know, that we knew each other from the past, even though we hadn't. And we kept in touch, and I spoke to him on Skype occasionally, and on the phone, and also on Facebook Messenger. And unfortunately, though, about a year after I met him, he came down with prostate cancer, and he went through all kinds of chemotherapy and everything else. And I was hoping everything would work out. It went on for 4 years, but then it seems to have spread to his lungs, and he wrote me just a day or two earlier that he was going into hospice because he couldn't keep food down, and, you know, so he said that he's nearing the end, and then it ended up, I gather, he probably didn't even make it to hospice because he died on August 1st.
Yeah, very sad. We talked about his book, both you and I, and he and I, on my show, and if you look at the archives at our website, wwgh1071.com, and under my section, under my millions of shows, just search for Mike Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y, and you'll have a pretty good laugh as you hear us talk about the humor and the guffaws of and the foibles of our 40-some presidents. One thing that sticks out with me, Ron, as you know, I mean, you're an expert on all presidents, from George Washington to Donald J. Trump to, of course, Joseph Robinette Biden, J.R., period, is that you might think some of these people were prim and proper. You know, Jimmy Carter comes to mind. You know, I think everybody can agree, nice guy. You know, you're a little more enamored with his presidency than I am. I think there were some things he did that were good. The Egypt and Israel peace accord was a big step, but I wasn't pleased about
the Panama Canal Treaty also.
Yeah, draft registration, yeah. Coming back. I wasn't pleased about the economy and, of course, the hostage situation. That certainly was not one of the shining moments in our history by any means. Right. But Jimmy Carter, you know, nice guy. I mean, God love him, he's still around. He is in hospice care, but something tells me he's not going to leave this earth anytime soon, and he's pushing 100. His wife, Rosalind,
well, he'll be 99 on October 1. In fact, he and I, Mike Purdy, spoke about the fact he was going into hospice, and I said, well, maybe you'll be able to hang like Jimmy Carter, but unfortunately he did not.
Cancer is a horrible disease, and we do encourage, you know, men who are at least 40, 45, get your PSA tested. This is often an indicator, not necessarily, it's some controversy. You know me, I'm kind of interested in the medical field, but PSA is certainly one indicator of a possible prostate issue. It may be a benign issue. BPH, for example, is something that pretty much all men get in middle age. But if you do have a major disease, that it can be addressed. And we do feel for Mike, again, not much older than I am, for goodness sakes, a great guy, and he's missed greatly. And I hope he's up in heaven there smiling at us and letting sure we know we appreciate his book and we appreciate the laughs, but also the education. But speaking about Carter, Ron, again, we agree he's a nice guy. You're a little more enamored with his presidency than I am, although I do agree there are some good
things
that came out of him.
He wasn't enamored when he was there. I was not enamored when he was in office. I became more enamored after
the
fact.
He's someone who's been appreciated.
About it when he, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, almost the opposite of Harding, and we're going to discuss Harding, someone who I think you'd agree, the opposite of Harding, his status as a past president has increased versus Harding's, which seems to decrease all the time, but we're going to, of course, get to that if we have time, if I don't keep rambling off on tangents. But it was important we talk about our mutual friend, Mike, that needs to be done. And when I spoke to Mike on the air, his book about presidential insults and just presidents acting in a more casual fashion, using words that you don't say in front of a five-year-old. You know, we know Donald Trump has a potty mouth. Again, being a show business type president, someone who was on a reality show, we would expect the S or F word or who knows what else out of his mouth from time to time. But again, speaking about Carter, you think of him as a Southern gentleman. You know, love him or hate him, he's a nice guy. He's a gentleman. He's very intelligent. one of our highest IQ presidents for sure. But even Jimmy Carter, Ron, was someone who didn't mind an insult or a four-letter word from time to time, and he's a human being. And certainly one thing about the presidency is it's frustrating. The only thing I've mentioned about Barack Obama, people have ragged on him for smoking. First of all, I don't care if the president smokes. One of our, well, again, a bit controversial, but certainly considered one of our greatest presidents, FDR. He did enjoy a puff or two. Of course, that did affect his lifespan. I'm not recommending that people smoke, but I'm mentioning that presidents are human beings. And a lot of controversy was made about Barack Obama, his past. You know, what did he do when he was in college? And that he was, trying to quit smoking while he was in office. Michelle, his wife, told him that he needs to stop using that substance. But bottom line is, if I were President Ron, I think I would smoke too. I would do whatever I needed to relieve the stress. It's a very stressful job. And that would include, I've been known to have a potty mouth myself, not on the air, but, you know, in person. So I would certainly use a four-letter word or two. We think of Obama a bit like Carter, that he is a gentleman, he's prim and proper, but he is a human being. And so if you do read Mike's book about presidential insults, just look him up on Amazon, Mike, P-U-R-D-Y, the Presidential Insults book. It's he sent me a free autograph copy, so I can't comment on the price, but it's not a very big book, so it shouldn't be too expensive. But we do strongly recommend you buy it. It's good for a laugh, but also for education. You will find that Carter, as well as other presidents that we might think of as being very gentlemanly, generally were, but they weren't 24 hours a day. As again, there are things presidents did to relieve stress, because I'm not sure there's a more stressful job out there than being the leader of the free world. Again, you know, we were aware of FDR. He may have had a few picadillos himself, but he did enjoy a puff or two. And we know, who knows, you know, Obama, I don't fault him at all. If he, you know, he certainly had a well-publicized meeting with other people where they drank a few brewskis. So again, these presidents are just human beings like us, and they have a very stressful job. And if even someone we think of as being a Southern gentleman, like Jimmy Carter, Ron, even he might sometimes spew forth at the mouth. And I don't personally fault him for that. In fact, I appreciate that these are regular people. And I don't see an issue with relieving some stress. So by reading that book...
May I intervene about Mike Perry? Want to add about his record? Besides the book that you mentioned about presidential insults, he also wrote in August 2022, he published Presidential Friendships, and it's about William Howard Taft and Theodore Roosevelt, the ups and downs of their friendship. And that was quite interesting because Taft was opposed by T.R. in 1912, running on the third party line, and that helped elect Woodrow Wilson. And he also writes in this book about FDR and LBJ. That's an interesting friendship, too.
Mike was a wizard, Ron, and we can agree here, of writing books about things about presidents that you might know. Again, you just can't imagine. I just can't imagine Jimmy Carter sitting there using four-letter words. Yeah, I can imagine Trump. You know, Nixon was known for having a potty mouth. I think Roosevelt, too. I mean, one thing, Theodore Roosevelt, but both of them, especially Theodore. We appreciate that he told it like it was. The Rough Riders, I mean, he was kind of rough, but he was a great leader. And you wouldn't, and even Harding also, you might
he called Taft fatso.
I mean, you might think of these guys, yeah, they're human beings, but it's just still hard to imagine Carter sitting there, just always being so polite. You know, I think the complaint about Carter, Ron, is like a lot of sports coaches, maybe like Dusty Baker, manager of the Reds and many other teams. Of course, he finally got his World Series victory. But for a while, people were saying, smart man, great guy, but too nice. You need someone like Lou Piniella or Don Zimmer, who can be it's a seven-letter word beginning with A and ending in E sometimes, that it isn't really a job for people who are always nice. And Donald Trump, we would agree. I'm sure if we asked Donald himself, Ron, he would agree. Yes, I can be an A, five letters, ends in E, two syllables sometimes, but that's something he's known for. But you need not to be too nice. You have to put your foot down. And maybe that's a complaint about Carter, but again, Carter wasn't a Southern gentleman 24/7. The friendships, that's an interesting one because it was well publicized that Bill Clinton and George Bush, number one, became BFFs, I guess that's the word, prior to Mr. Bush's passing. And certainly politically, they're somewhat different. I don't think they're quite as different as you might think, as they're both fairly moderate. I mean, Clinton, the very, very moderate Democrat. He certainly isn't anything like a lot of the Democrats we see today. And George Bush, number one, you know, toward the middle, kind of wavered a bit, but you need to do that in politics. So the presidential friendships, I think the thing is that there are some surprises, just like the president's having a potty mouth or spewing forth things you might not think are very presidential. But bottom line is, folks, Mike Purdy, brilliant author. We miss him greatly. Look him up, P-U-R-D-Y, on Amazon and buy his books. You'll get a good laugh, but you'll also learn a few things.
And yeah, I also wanted to mention he wrote a third book, Reflections of an Uncertain Journey, about his bout with cancer. He came out just before he passed away a few months ago, Reflections of an Uncertain Journey. So he's actually the author of three books. And I wanted to point out about presidential friendships. You got to realize it's been said the greatest friendship since Jefferson and Adams, who became very friendly after their times in office long ago, was Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter became fast friends. And it was agreed that whoever died first, the other one would give the eulogy at his funeral. And Carter did do that for Ford in 2006.
Yep. Gerald Ford, an interesting president. I think he's someone like Carter. Maybe that's what they had in common. I mean, Carter certainly had better hair. But that's one thing I think of is Ford is of late, least. I mean, Biden is thinning, but he's also much older than Ford was. Ford didn't have a lot of hair when he became president. Jimmy Carter still has a pretty nice head of hair at 140 years old, or 99 and a half years old. So
and 10 months plus, yeah, about 7 days now.
The difference. Yeah. And geographical, Ford played football for Ohio State's big rival, U of M. Jimmy Carter, you know, well known as the family peanut farm in Plains, Georgia. So men have very, very different backgrounds, and certainly they fought the good fight for the election, and Jimmy Carter won. Gerald Ford, like Carter, someone we've increased our opinion of him as time has gone by, kind of got the shaft a bit since he had to kind of make a difficult decision to pardon the man that essentially made him president, Richard, well, as R.T. Bunker says, Richard E. Nixon, but it's Richard M. or Milhouse Nixon. So a difficult presidency, and inflation, the economy wasn't good, and coming off the Vietnam War, I mean, many, many things that made that a less than fun presidency. He was never elected directly, even though the Carter and Ford election of, I believe, November of 1976 was very close, but Ford was appointed by Richard Nixon or Tricky Dicky after the resignation of Spiro Agnew, didn't win the presidency, so he was never elected by the people, but certainly he was presidential material, and Ron and I both have an affection for, of course, his wife, Betty Ford, who in her posthumously still does much for the very serious drug problem that we have all over this country, and especially here in mid and central Ohio. It's a huge issue, and I think Betty Ford's legacy will continue to help that. Also understand, just like we talked about presidents, even if they might come across like a Southern gentleman, like Carter, they're still humans. They still spew forth words you don't say on TV. And again, if Obama wants to have a puff of his ciggy once in a while, well, That's fine, because I'm sure I would do that and more if I were president. I'm not sure I'd even make it past the first couple days with all the stress. So I, again,
yeah,
admire.
May I intervene to say,
yes.
Yeah, intervene to say Truman also had a foul mouth. He went after a critic of his daughter's singing and really used foul language, and everybody was shocked about it in the late 1940s.
Yeah, and I think Truman, you think of him as being a bit of a gentleman, so you don't quite know. But bottom line is, it's a stressful job, and presidents are human beings, and as I said, people have ragged on Obama about the smoking, but you don't really seem to hear much about it with FDR, which probably because smoking was more common and accepted back when FDR was president. Scott had, I think, FDR's granddaughter on, and she talked about it. He certainly had health problems. He had polio. Didn't stop him from being president for almost four terms. So, again, presidents are human beings. Mike Purdy's two books. Talk about that. And again, even if we don't agree with the decisions and the philosophies of presidents, we certainly admire that they can handle a stressful job and still wake up every day and face the world with the most positive outlook that they can. Adam here with Dr. Ron Feinman.
Yeah, may I intervene about Mike Purdy?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike Purdy's presidentialhistory.com. People can look up the website, presidentialhistory.com.
Yes.
It seems like he was working on a third book, or at least it looks, because on March 10th of this year, he has a listing called Presidential Humanity, and he talks about the different issues people face in their lives. He talks about Lincoln and depression, about Franklin Pierce losing his son, Calvin Coolidge losing his son, FDR having polio, Kennedy having constant pain from injuries, Jefferson being very shy in public, Theodore Roosevelt being sickly as a child with asthma. So I have a feeling he was on his way to writing a third book. It's not a book, but it's an article on his website. And I think he was ready to write that, you know?
Yeah, we miss Mike Purdy as a man, as a friend. And just miss his books, because he's a good author. There's a lot in that Presidential Insults book, and wish I would have had a chance to meet him like you did, Ron. But no question, if I did, I think it would be a good meeting. A lot of laughs, and I'd come away with a few more brain cells than I had before I entered the meeting. Adam here with Dr. Ron Feinman on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Remembering our mutual virtual, although in person for Ron friend, Mr. Mike Purdy. Again, look up his books on Amazon. It'll be money well spent. Can't offer you the autographed copy that I have, but I certainly do treasure it. And you might learn that presidents are human beings. And again, even if you don't like the current president, you know, I'm no fan myself, or the previous president, or any of the other gentlemen who've held the office, you'll appreciate that they are men, just like other people of the male persuasion, human beings, just like all of us, and they're not perfect, and sometimes they have to let off a little bit of steam, but I say it's good not to take yourself too seriously, and laughter is the best medicine, blah, blah, blah. So, anywho, Ron, recently you spoke with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott L. Spears, where L stands for lots of celebrity interviews, and the reason was that, as we kind of hinted around previously, our hometown president, Warren Gamaliel Harding, thank goodness. Well, my middle name is G also. I don't like my middle name, but I tell you, I think Gamaliel is worse than my own middle name. So anyway, President Warren G. Harding, whom, of course, we named the station after him, our hometown president, former head honcho at the Marion Star. We commemorated the 100th anniversary of his passing, which occurred in San Francisco, California, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, Ron, our resident presidentologist, talked about him, but kind of from a different light. The man has elicited a lot of controversy. But interestingly, I mean, a bit like Richard Nixon, similar, he did a lot when he was in office, and he was only in office 3 years. Nixon was in office almost two terms, plus he was vice president under Eisenhower, I do believe. Harding was president for under 4 years because he did die while he was in office, and he got a lot done.
He is 5 months.
But he's still considered one of our worst presidents because he was enamored in scandals, not unlike Tricky Dicky, even Clinton to an extent, but you know, Clinton was more about keeping his pants on. You discussed 10 good things about, well, Harding had a problem keeping his pants on also, but we'll get to that.
Yes, he did.
On that program,
I noticed that his grandson doesn't mention it at all in the interview we had with Scott. He only talks about what he wants to see, and I was actually quite shocked that he wasn't willing to discuss anything negative about his grandfather, but I guess that's understandable in a way.
Yeah, his grandson, Jim Blessing, was on, as he's been on with us many times. We'll get to him, but you talked about, I think, 10 or 12 good things about Warren Harding, Ron. And when I came away from that interview, because I listened to every second, I canceled my plans, I made the coffee, et cetera. And it's like, well, why is this guy considered one of our worst presidents? Seems like he did a lot. He had good charisma. When I was in school, Ron, and I think I've told you this, what we learned about Harding, again, that wasn't in Marion. I think I was living in Rochester, New York at the time. Was that, well, Harding was just a horrible president, but it was the first time that women were allowed to vote for a president. And
that's true. 1920 and he was, election.
He was good looking. I mean, in a distinguished way. And I mean, he had nice head of gray hair and a distinguished looking face. So he was, you know, wasn't a bad looking gentleman. And women, well, you know, they're human beings. They kind of, yes. And I heard this about Clinton also. They just flipped the lever. They didn't have touchpads back then. We had levers. They flipped the lever because they found him to be easy on the eyes, as we say. And that was kind of the reason. Now, to me, that's a slight to women. I don't think that, I agree that people, and I've done this myself, people have voted because somebody had a good presence. I have personally voted for candidates named Adam because I like their name. I can think of one in particular that I voted for. But then I met this gentleman a few years later and told him I voted for him, and I was impressed when I met him, so I was glad I voted for him. So I guess by coincidence, but people are humans, and I think the president, especially back then, you know, there was no TV, no Facebook. Presidents made public appearances in the convertible without the security that we unfortunately have to have at this point. And the presence, you know, whether or not it's actually classic good looks, it does help. There are just many things that we judge a president for. But you kind of took a different angle, Ron, and said, well, I'm not going to talk about the women's suffrage. We're not going to talk about the scandals. Let's address 10 or more good things about Harding. And I came away saying, well, why is this guy considered such a bad president? He did quite a bit. So recapitulate for us exactly, and tell us especially the one or two best things about the Harding presidency that people may not even be aware of, where maybe his reputation is a bit tarnished, but still he did quite a bit.
Okay, well, for instance, he signed the Shepherd Town and Maternity Act, the first major federal government social welfare program for mothers and children, and that started the trend toward the New Deal, so that was significant, actually. It was. That was in 1921. He also signed the Federal Highway Act that started promoting federal funding of interstate and intercounty roads, the forerunner of the interstate highway system promoted by Eisenhower. He promoted the radio industry. He had, of course, as Secretary of Commerce, Herbert Hoover, the later president, who was considered one of the best cabinet members in all of U.S. history, and not in a major position, because Commerce is not state or attorney general or defense or treasury, but yet he was very significant in that. So, and Hoover promoted the radio industry, and he created the Bureau of the Budget, the first formal budgeting process, and he signed the Veterans Bureau into law, the first government agency for veterans, which later became the Veterans Affairs, the cabinet agency under Reagan. Also, the aviation industry he promoted, you know, which was in its early stages, like radio. And he appointed four Supreme Court justices, including former President Taft, who became Chief Justice. And he also had as a cabinet member Charles Evans Hughes, who had lost the election for president in the closest election since 1876 in 1916 to Wilson, and later went on to become Chief Justice. He appointed him Secretary of State. So these are all significant things. Plus, he also negotiated the Washington Naval Agreement to try to cut down naval disarmament or to prevent future wars. That lasted until Japan invaded Manchuria in 1931. So there's actually a number of positive things that he did in his 2 years and 5 months in office.
So you hear this stuff, Ron, it's like, this happens sometimes with some of the baseball groups that I'm in, and you're like myself, you like baseball history. People bring up the statistics of a player, and it's not going to be Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron or Mickey Mantle or Nolan Ryan or someone whose statistics are obvious. With Nolan Ryan, you know, 10 million strikeouts. Babe Ruth, in fact, he was also a very good pitcher. You know, Hank Aaron with the home runs. And it's like, well, should this player be in the Hall of Fame? Or guess the player based upon stats. And oftentimes it kind of throws people. So it's like if you were to mention these statistics, these accomplishments of Harding, and say, well, which president do you think it is? You would think, oh, it's one of our greatest presidents. It's one of the Roosevelts, it's Lincoln, it's Washington, it's Reagan, you know, one of our most popular or best presidents. And you find out it's Harding, someone who's in the top bottom five, well, the bottom five of presidential rankings, you know, barely holding his own against, God forbid, Donald J. Trump, and some of the
and Andrew Johnson,
yeah, and Millard Frank Fillmore. Peters, he's not really up there. I don't think half the people even heard of Millard Fillmore. Just kind of a funny name, but he was kind of a president who really didn't do much. But bottom line is, you hear this and think, well...
Well, he did sign the Compromise of 1850, which delayed the Civil War, so don't say he didn't do anything.
Yeah, well, he's just, but not as well known. But bottom line is, you think, okay, well, why in the heck is this guy, who's not only that, he's an Ohioan, he was a newspaper man, sentimental favorite, he was a radio fan. Why is this guy ranked in the bottom five? He sounds like one of our greatest presidents. He sounds like he rivals Lincoln. So what is it, Ron, about Warren Gamaliel Harding that has put him in this basement of presidential rankings, despite all the stuff that he does that you just spewed forth? And, you know,
well, I think it's the Teapot Dome scandal and the other scandals in his administration, which were the most such since Ulysses S. Grant at that point of time. And also, although we didn't know it at the time, the sex scandals he was involved in, including fathering an illegitimate child. So when that all came out within the few years after his death, his ratings collapsed. When he died, everybody mourned him, and they thought, "Oh my God, he's one of the greatest of all time." But then he really lost his credit rating, I guess, based on the scandals and on the sex scandals as well. So that's unfortunately what happened.
So almost like with Nixon or Tricky Dicky, you hear some of the accomplishments. You know, Nixon considered a foreign policy. I think I need more coffee. Wizard. Established
and also environmental reform. He was on the Earth Day.
He had his presidential nature about him, but you know, Watergate was kind of did him in, and it's kind of a shame. And you know, we've talked. Well, you know, let's just pretend there was no Watergate. It would have been his last term anyway. Even with Agnew, we can judge them separately. If Nixon would have, he was a lame duck president anyway. If he would have ridden out his term, where would we rank the guy? And it's like you can do that with so many different things. You talk about baseball. Where would Roger Clemens rank if he were not juiced? Barry Bonds would be considered probably the best offensive player of all time if he were not juiced. Yeah. But it's like he won't even get in the Hall of Fame, and you know, he's also not really known as a nice guy. So you look at the stats and say that isn't everything. To me, with baseball, if you're taking steroids, you're a cheater, and you shouldn't be anywhere, and possibly should be in a prison cell. But with presidents, one thing can do them in. It depends also on the scandal. Now, with Clinton, as we mentioned, he had trouble keeping his pants on. Economically, he was considered a wizard. He was a very moderate Democrat. You know, Ron and I agree.
Yes.
He was a good president. I mean, he was married to someone who almost became president. Hillary, and you know, she's served politically on her own as a senator and as a cabinet member. So Clinton, you know, a good guy, a good presence, excellent speaker, and one of our most intelligent presidents too, I think. So we kind of see that, but then we take a look at some of the scandals, and it might affect his ranking. But there is a difference between Watergate and the Teapot Dome, and again, men just doing, I guess, what some men just tend to do. And now it's come out, Ron, that it seems like most of our presidents have had affairs. Kennedy, even FDR. So never, you never quite know. Bottom line is, as we've talked about and with Mike Purdy's books, presidents are human beings. They're not expected to be perfect. They may spew forth words you don't say in polite company. They might enjoy a brewski or a puff every now and then. And they might even stray a bit, so to speak, which we're not by any means condoning, but it's a fact of life. So we kind of look at the whole picture.
Yeah, let me intervene here to say that Carter has never been accused of having any affairs outside of marriage, other than saying he had lust in his heart in a Playboy interview in 1976 when he was running, because when H.W. Bush, in his old age, was supposedly touching women's rears while he was in his chair there. I had a friend say, "Oh, we're going to hear about Carter." Never heard a thing about Carter ever chasing after women, even like H.W. Bush did in his old age from his wheelchair. So I think it's quite funny when you think of the Carter seems not to have been that way, except for that one statement he made. You know?
That's part of Carter's Southern gentleman nature. And presidents, again, they're not superhuman. Maybe Donald Trump thinks he's superhuman, but bottom line is they're all Homo sapiens like we are, and they're not perfect. And I think if they're colorful, it does help their image. It just depends exactly how colorful and what it is that they did. But I think one thing we can maybe say about Harding, and maybe Nixon, Ron, would be number two in this. He's a president with the most extreme good stuff and the most extreme bad stuff, but the bad stuff seems to outweigh the good stuff. So we look at that. And Nixon, I think, is the same way. Or can you think of any other president? I mean, some people might say Trump. I don't think you would say Trump, but again, there may be a few people who would.
No, I would not say Trump.
Are there any other presidents besides Nixon and Harding who did a lot of really good stuff and a lot of really bad stuff, and it seems like one of those outweighs the other to an extent where that affects his ranking?
That's a good question.
How's that for a good challenging question to our presidentologist? But you see what I mean, right? Those two certainly would be near the top of that list.
Yeah, I would say I agree. Well, I want to mention the Carters are now married 77 years, by the way, the longest presidential marriage. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
77 years, and Rosalynn, unfortunately, has early dementia, is going to hit 96 on August 18th. And again, Jimmy Carter will be 99 on October 1. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, I wanted to mention one other thing about Harding. What if Harding had not died? What if he had actually had a chance to finish his term? Would he have been reelected in 1924 with the scandals starting to erupt around him? Maybe not his personal scandals, but the Teapot Dome. Would he have been unable to win reelection? It's one of those what-ifs. Would he have won? Because the Republicans were the majority party in the country. So I have a feeling he might have won a second term. But, you know, it's hard to know. It's a what-if question.
Yeah. I mean, the what-ifs are something we talk about in any kind of historical environment. Again, in the baseball groups, yeah, we take a look at statistics and say, well, should this player be in the Hall of Fame? Guess the player. And it's never, you know, never anybody obvious like Hank Aaron or Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth. And then we, you know, talk about what if Roger Clemens didn't use steroids? What about Barry Bonds? To me, Barry Bonds would have actually been a better player without steroids. I don't think he needed them, but that was a decision that he made. I mean, the temptation is something that is hard to give up sometimes, but that's water under the bridge at this point. And the same thing about presidents.
Yeah, take a look at baseball.
Yeah.
I want to say about baseball, we want to put in about Shohei Ohtani, the player on the California Angels, who's been now compared to Babe Ruth because he's a fantastic pitcher and hitter. And he was in a doubleheader where he played the first game. He came out of the first game at some point, but he was pitching very well. And then he pinch hit. And then in the second game, he hit two home runs from the outfield. The guy's amazing.
Yeah,
Ohtani.
I'm a purist. I hate the DH. I hate that it's in both leagues right now. And one thing about Babe Ruth comes up a lot is he was a great pitcher, and they decided, well, great arm, put him in the outfield, let him hit home runs during the dead ball era, and look what happened. And plus his image too. He wasn't Ken Griffey Jr. or someone you look at and say, well, this guy is a natural athlete. He was heavy, smoked a lot of cigars. He was a womanizer. He ate a lot of hot dogs and just didn't look like the prime physical specimen. But
Ohtani is an amazing player. He may be the greatest player of all time, some people are saying.
Yeah, the versatility of Ohtani, again, a different man from an athlete standpoint, but that isn't always it. Sometimes you have to look at what the results are. And Ohtani, he certainly has picked the right line of work, and I wish him only the best. It's exciting to watch someone like that, someone who is a versatile player. Is where I come from, Ron, baseball is a sport where you have to be versatile. You have to be good defensively, good offensively. And if you're a pitcher, well, you're basically doing three different things, although with the DH, I guess you're not really hitting anymore, which is kind of a shame, but I'm not going to harp on that. So obviously the comparisons from Babe Ruth to Shohei Ohtani are reasonable and very well. The Babe is up there in heaven smiling and saying, Shohei, go for it. You have unseated me as the best versatile player, the best multiple threat of all time. And that's good for the game. It's good to have players who can do those kind of things. And during a different time in the sport, I think, again, being multicultural, he has stimulated interest in baseball in other countries, and that's always a good thing. And given, you know, during tough times in history, given people something to watch and look forward to and anticipate, what's he gonna, what tricks is he up to next? because the guy is guy's a stud, to put it mildly.
Yeah, imagine if he was on the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers or the Boston Red Sox, the amount of attention he would get even more than he does from the California Angels, you know? Imagine that.
Yeah, that's part of it, what team you play for. But bottom line is, in the age of the internet, social media, cable TV, Twitter, now known as X or whatever it's called this week, people can certainly share their experiences.
One day it'll be Y.
and their prognostications. Yeah. With a few minutes left, Ron, we want to talk about two things. We're not going to have time to talk as much as we'd like to, but that's because I ramble, but that's okay. I am a talker, so that puts me in the right business, kind of like Ohtani. He's a multi-talented athlete. He's in the right business also.
Yeah.
Warren G. Harding's grandson, Jim Blessing, was on recently, and he's been on multiple times. Just in a 2 or 3 minutes, Ron, what was your impression of the interview? It did elicit some rather strong opinions from you.
I respect the guy, and he has a right to defend his grandfather, but honestly, I thought it was a little weird, the whole thing. I was not terribly thrilled and happy about it, to be honest. I thought that he was distorting the record. He was comparing him to Trump, which I think is really weird. And apparently he's a Trumpite, which he has a right to be. But to me, it just seems strange that he would be doing that. And I just think that he didn't want to talk about anything negative, which I guess, you know, it's family, I understand. But to me, that was a distorted interview. It wasn't reality. I gave facts about him being positive, but I also made a statement that he had shortcomings. But in this man's opinion, his grandfather, he thinks, has been wrongly judged by the other side of the Harding family. And so it seems like he's very resentful. And I think that's not good. But, you know, of course he has his rights. You know, everybody has a right with family members. And if you're an inheritor of somebody famous, you can say what you want. But I don't think it's a true judgment of Warren G. Harding, the way he looked at him.
He's a character for sure. We appreciate that he's been on the air with us many times, and he is outspoken, we'll put it that way.
I also listened to the 3 hours of the gentleman who portrayed Warren G. Harding. He was really good, I thought. You know, he was really good. The only thing is, twice he made a mistake. He mentioned about the pandemic of what he called 1913. It was 1918. And he said it twice, and I said, oh, boy. And secondly, one time he was talking about 1923, but he mentioned 2023 as a slip, and I thought that was funny also. But actually, he was really charming, and I thought very interesting the way he was speaking about his presidency. It was very entertaining.
Yes, our Warren G. Harding impersonator.
I think Scott Spears did a great job the way he interviewed that gentleman, you know, the one who portrayed Harding.
Yeah, Scott, who's probably listening, doesn't like it when people call him the impersonator, but it's my show, so that's what I call him. He thinks he's Harding. Well, that's okay. You know, Donald Trump certainly...
I spent all yesterday listening to 4 hours, you know, the 3 hours of Warren G. Harding in quotes, and the hour of Jim Blazing, you know, so it was an entertaining afternoon.
So with about 1 minute and 45 seconds left, Ron, if this is possible, tell us about the latest news with Donald J. Trump. And is he going to be arrested? Is he going to wear an orange jumpsuit to match his orange skin? What's the current state of the Donald from your perspective?
Well, he's using threatening language toward the prosecutor, Jack Smith, and toward the judge, Chutkan, and others. And that cannot be allowed. He's on dangerous ground. He's treading on thin ice, and I don't know. I mean, he cannot be allowed to abuse his position to attack legal authority, and so I don't know what's going to happen, but he's a nightmare. He really is for the government and for the country, because he's promoting divisiveness and violence, and I honestly think he should be incarcerated, but I don't think he will be. You know, I don't know. It's a tough situation. Well, but he has 78 felony charges and more to come from Georgia now.
Well, Donald Trump, certainly a man who elicits controversy, and love him or hate him, he has certainly increased people's enjoyment of history, of public affairs, and always entertaining to read about the guy and see him on TV waving to people. Guess we'll find out. I'm sure when we do another show, Ron, we will have more updates on, as Sam Donaldson calls him, Donald J. Trump. For folks who would like to hear of erudite and opinionated perspective, please go to our archives under Scott's Celebrity Interviews and hear his recent talk with Sam Donaldson about the Donald. they might kind of share a name there, Sam Donald's son. It's not Donald's son. He's actually old enough, almost, not quite, but almost old enough to be Donald's son. But certainly his opinion of the orange one is not a favorable one, let's put it that way. I tell you one thing about Sam Donaldson.
Well, let's say he's 89, and Trump is 77. If Trump had sex at 11, I guess he could have been his father.
I mean, he's old enough to be older brother. But I tell you, Sam Donaldson still sounds real. He still has that great voice. And whether or not you agree with what he has to say, it's good to hear him talk with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott L. Spears. Well, as my mama would say, time flies when you're having fun. We actually did talk about most of the things on the agenda, remembering our mutual virtual and somewhat in-person friend, Mr. Mike Purdy. Talked about Jimmy Carter and other presidents who sometimes had a personal image a little different than the image that we're seeing in the media. Talked about Jim Blessing. Of course, we talked about the Donald and a few other things just to keep things fun. Please, folks, please read and bookmark Dr. Feinman's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Good about for opinions. You'll learn some history. Laugh a little bit. And combination of the above, as I've mentioned, look up Mike Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y, at Amazon. Buy his books. It is money well spent, I can assure you. And we will await our next visit in the path to presidentology. Ron, thanks again for being with us here on
Thank you so much.
Adam here, inviting your emails with questions, comments, complaints, and suggestions. Adam at WWGH1071.com.